I'm here to worship Jesus today, and I hope that's why you're here. And he has laid something on my heart. He's really been touching my heart today about this topic I'm going to talk about. And it all comes from, I was reading a book the other day by Ph.D. Sonny Akel. Sherry, can you try to clean these up? I can't see through them. And in his book, he says a number of things, but one of the things that he says is some people think Christians shouldn't have no problems. You hearing me, beloved? Some people think that Christians shouldn't have any problems. But I'm here to tell you that we have some too, don't we? Sometimes we get afflicted too. Sometimes we get heavy in our heart too. Sometimes we get beat up outside in the world, and sometimes we get beat up in the church house. Jesus said in John 16:33, I trust, I can't see a thing, but I'm pretty sure it's John 16:33 when he's talking to his disciples, and he says to them, in the world you'll have trouble. Thank you. Be of good cheer, he said, I have overcome the world. He said, you might experience some trouble, brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'm here to tell you today that for those that would suggest people that know Christ will never have any more problems, well, that's not what the Bible says. I guess I'll leave it at that. But I'll tell you one thing, brothers and sisters, there's victory in Jesus. There is victory in Jesus. There is victory over sin. Sin has been dealt with here. There is victory over death. Death has been dealt with here. There is victory in Jesus today. And I know some people are heavy-hearted and heavy in their soul with the afflictions and the torment of life. I know that. And brothers and sisters, that's where we, the church, comes along. We need to cast our eyes upon Jesus, yes. And I will refer to Psalm 121, maybe, if we have time. But it says, I lift my eyes to the hills from where my help comes from. Let us remember where our help comes from, brothers and sisters. Because he said, and we should feel it and we should know it, my help comes from the Lord. That's what the psalmist said in 121. And then he says in verse 5, the Lord is my keeper. And he says again, the Lord will keep me from evil. He will keep your life, the psalmist said. And so let us never forget there is victory in Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus today, brothers and sisters, it's time to get to know him in a real personal way. Okay? Eternity depends upon it, among other things. But he is that shelter in the time of storm. And so should be the church. The church is left here on earth, on planet earth, so that we might love our neighbor as ourselves. We might tell the good news of Jesus, and so that we might come alongside that hurting brother and sister and say, how can I bear your burdens? You know what? As I read more and more through this book, I saw many things that I believe are very, very true. Way too often, this author said in church, we're so focused on looking good on the outside that we don't even consider what's going on in the heart. You hearing me? Here's an example he gives. Ladies come in. He's from Texas. And so ladies come in. They sit down here. They're dressed nice. He says they're in their designer clothes. So they look nice. They're looking good on the outside. But in their hearts, there is turmoil. There is hurt. There is pain. One of them has just spent the night arguing with her husband, who she's just found out he's deep into pornography. The other one is an alcoholic. Nobody in the church knows it. Woe unto us if someone should know our problems. And here they sit looking fine on the outside, and on the inside they are torn apart. And they don't want to tell anybody about their hurts because somebody in the church house might judge them. Are you hearing me? Somebody in the church house might look at them and say, oh man, we can't use your kind. Somebody in the church house might look at them and suggest that, well, maybe you should take your problems elsewhere. That happens in the church house, and people would step up and say, Jim, I hurt more, or come to you and say, John or Julie or Jane or whatever your name is, I hurt, can you pray with me? You see, brothers and sisters, even in the church house, we might look all fine on the outside, and our heart is broken. Our heart is broken on the inside. Maybe it's because of sin. Sin will do that. Maybe it's because of some affliction, some cancers or some tumors or some physical ailment that the devil or whatever has laid upon you. But people hurt even in the church house. Can I get a witness? Am I the only one that hurts?
Amen.
People even in the church house hurt. In our heart, in our soul. Way down deep, we don't want nobody else to know. We hurt inside. And brothers and sisters, the Word of God says that's where you come along. You are the hands and the feet of Jesus, just like Casting Crown sings it. If we are the hands, then and if we are the feet, then why aren't we doing it like Jesus? Why aren't we loving them and taking them in and embracing them and listening to them and crying with them and praying with them and everything else? My Bible says, brothers and sisters, that's exactly what we're to do. That's exactly what we're to do. Those of you that were here for the first service, and there are some of you that have to put up with me twice on Sundays, have already realized that God has changed my mind a great deal from Sermon 1 to Sermon 2, hasn't He? But God has put people on my heart. God has put people on my heart. I love people because God loves me. And the body of Christ, if we have encountered Jesus, should love people the same way He loves you. Even when people hurt. Even when they don't want to talk about their pain. Even when they don't want to talk about what's killing them and tearing them apart inside. I ask myself, brothers and sisters, today, and I want to challenge you if you get nothing else from this message but this, where is the body of Christ when people hurt? Are we there saying, God, use me? I'll listen to her. I'll listen to him. I'll love him, and I'll pray with him. Where is the church today, brothers and sisters, when people inside the church house hurt? You see why I said earlier this morning, I want you to meet somebody intentionally. I want you to remember their name. I want you to pray for them. And someday God might lay them on your heart again. And you need to call them and say, you know what, how you doing? God has laid you on my heart. I don't know why, but I trust He's asked me to call you for a reason. You see why I want you to take an intentionality when you meet somebody? Because we are the body. We are the body of Christ. And we are the ones that are told to let your light shine for Him. We are the ones that Jesus said, you are supposed to be the salt. And if you've lost your saltiness, it may as well be thrown out and trod under because it ain't no good anymore. And He said to the church, embrace your neighbors. Love them. Show them Jesus. God has laid on my heart, brothers and sisters, there's a whole lot of hurting folks in the church and outside the church. And it's up to the body. It's up to the body of Christ to come along with those that have got this sentence or got this hurt, got this turmoil going on. It's up to you and I to come alongside them and say, I'll be there with you. Because Jesus has stood with me. It's up to us, the body of Christ, this church and the next church, Spirit-led people, to come alongside the world and say, there's a better way. God loves you. He's died for you. And yes, I know you're going through some hurt today. I know your cancer's bad. I know your divorce is ugly. I know your kids have left you, or whatever the case is. But He wants to come alongside you. And He wants to lift you up. And He wants to use the church. That's you and I. He wants to use the church to embrace those people and help them feel you're not alone. Jesus said to His disciples, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Do you remember that, brothers and sisters? That's what He said. He said, I'm going to go away, But I'm going to send to you a comforter. That means the Holy Spirit of God is here with us, friends. The Holy Spirit of God, it's God Himself, is here with us to give us that strength to say, if maybe it's sin, to say no to sin, to give us that strength to deal with this next surgery or this next treatment or the next mail that I look in and there's still no letter from my family. God wants to walk with you through it. And not only does God want to walk with you through it, He wants the church. He wants the church, the body of Christ, to be there with you. I recognize you may not know all the hurts of those sitting around you. I recognize that we may not be aware of that pain that somebody sitting right beside you is going through. But I'll tell you, somebody that does, Jesus knows what you're going through. And brothers and sisters in the church house, if you have claimed the name of Jesus, He wants to use you to be there to comfort somebody else. He wants to use you. This is not just a preacher's role. This is not just Franklin Graham's role in Haiti. This is the church. He wants to use you and I to help that somebody that's hurt. Let me share with you quickly. My time is going so quickly. Let me share with you two or three verses that I know this to be true. And I've shared this verse with you over and over and over, but let me share it again because it bears repeating. Galatians 6, New International Version. Galatians 6 says this, "Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself or you also may be tempted." Now I want to focus on verse 2. He's talking to the church. Carry each other's burdens. Are you hearing me today, friends? Carry each other's burdens, He's telling the people of the church. That's you and I. I might need you to carry my burden. You might need me to carry yours. Your neighbor might need you to help carry theirs. Paul tells the church, he's not suggesting, he says, get out there, Jim, and carry their burdens. Get out there, church of God, carry each other's burdens. And then he says, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Jesus. You know what that law is, brothers and sisters? Let me hear you say it. What is it? It's the law of love. You will fulfill the law of Christ. What is that law? He loves us. And when we start to actually care about somebody else, not because I have to, because I want to, it's fulfilling the law of love. The law of love that God has laid down for us. Brothers and sisters, the Christian life is not to be lived in isolation. Believer, this may catch you off guard. I am an introvert. I would rather be alone. I would rather be in the deer stand or someplace in the woods, just me and God and the nature. But God didn't intend us to live in isolation. He intended us to live in community. Why? Verse 2. We bear each other's burdens. Sometimes I can't carry it alone. Sometimes you can't either. And Paul says, come alongside. Maybe they're in this burden because of sin, but maybe they're, and that's what verse 1 suggests, but maybe they're in this because they've just been handed this death sentence or something else. And Paul says, come alongside of them. Come alongside of them and bear their burdens with them, and so fulfill the law of Christ, which is love your neighbor as yourself. Love me, God said, with everything that you've got, and I will so fill you with love, you'll be able to love your neighbor as yourself. That's what He wants the church to do, brothers and sisters, to come alongside those that hurt. I'm not talking about meddling in their lives. I'm not talking about gossip. I'm not talking about extracting some extra little tidbit of information so you can use that for manipulation. I'm talking about coming alongside to love them right where they're at, to help them through this difficult hour. Brothers and sisters, listen to me. Church leaders And church people must be willing to get involved in other people's lives. And again, I'll say it again, not to meddle, not to gossip, not for manipulation, but because we love people. I can't make you love anybody. But if you will just get a relationship going on with God the Father, and let Jesus to come into your life, and let the Spirit to take over, I guarantee you, He will change your perspective on loving people. I guarantee you. It's happened to me, it's happened to lots of you. And the church, brothers and sisters, must be willing to get involved in people that hurt. Yes, these ladies may have come in looking normal on the outside, but inside they're hurting big time. That's where the church comes along and says, brother and sister, let me help you. Let me bear that burden. James says it so well in James chapter 5, verses 13, 14, 15, and 16. Is anyone in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs. Is any one of you sick? Then call the elders, of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. Did you hear that, brothers and sisters? When the church prays for people, the prayers make the sick person well. But sometimes we can't ever pray for you, or you can't pray for me if I don't tell you where I hurt. So he says further, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Healed, brothers and sisters. I'm not talking this side of glory that maybe everything is going to be absolutely perfect and without sin and without temptation and without wrinkle or freckle. I'm not talking about that. But healed in Jesus is what I'm talking about. And the Bible says it, and so I believe it. And so then you say, well, Jim, I'm really not in tune with running around confessing my sins to y'all. That's not what it's saying. But you got to be able to call upon somebody. Maybe it's myself as a pastor. Maybe you're a lady and you'd rather call Marie or Pastor Les's wife or my wife. Or maybe you know Pastor Les better. But you got to be able to tell somebody. And maybe it's that somebody right next to you in the pew today that you go to Bible study together on Monday nights or Wednesday nights or Wednesday mornings. And you just share your heart. Maybe you've got to talk to them about your hurts. He says here very clearly, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. Why? Why would I do that? So that you may be healed. I got to try to figure out how many pages I'm going to cut out. Brother Ako in his book said, this is a quote, preaching is wonderful and exciting, and it has become so central in our churches today that we can sometimes forget the people. And I don't ever want to do that. And if I have done that, I'm asking you to forgive me today for forgetting you, the people. And I don't want us in the church ever to forget there are other people around us. And so if I have gotten too wound up and too excited in just preaching and forgotten you, forgive me for that, because it's about people, the body of Christ. I believe that too many people inside and outside of the church have been beaten up by the world. Some of them have been beaten up by the church, and they need to find some hope and encouragement. And they may find that through preaching. They may. But it's more likely that they will find it through hope and comfort and encouragement and prayer with somebody else one-on-one. Or two together with one or whatever. The church, friends, is to be that beacon of hope for people that hurt. Are you hearing me? The church. I don't care what the name out front says. If we are born again, if we are followers of Jesus Christ, we are to be the beacon of hope for those that hurt, inside and outside of the church, because that's exactly what Jesus did. He sought and to save that was lost. He said he came to heal those that were sick. It isn't the well that need the physician, and that is the example that the church has. The example is Jesus, the church. should be that beacon of hope. I know it's hard to open up to people. And I'm not asking you to just run up and down the hall shouting out what you need to confess. I am asking you, though, if there's sin in your life, to confess it to the Lord. And if you're having trouble with that, then you need an accountability partner to get with regularly and say, please pray for me. I'm having trouble with this. You need to be honest with that person. Whether that's myself, as I mentioned, or my wife, or Marie, or Pastor Les and his wife, whoever that is, you need to get accountable. Or you need to come to Thursday at 3 o'clock when some ladies pray. Just get together and weep and pray before God. Or you need to come to the altar when I invite you even this morning and pray and allow people to lay hands on you. Or Sunday night when we're together, or get in a Bible study, or be part of this secret sister thing that going on back here. I don't know a whole lot about it. But you need somebody to be accountable with. The body of Christ is not about airing dirty laundry to anyone and everyone. It's about healing. It's about healing. It's about growing in Jesus. It's about being the people that Jesus needs us to be. Individuals, families, communities. It's about healing. And we can't heal, brothers and sisters, when we are full of hurt. We've got to get that out. Again, Psalm 121, I look unto the hills from where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord. Yes, but we also need somebody tangible. We need somebody to talk to. We need to get face to face and honest. If you're a woman with a woman, if you're a man with a man, you need to get face to face with them and say, brother, I'm struggling here. Sister, please pray for me. I'm losing the battle here. And the church should respond in love. Did you hear me? The church should respond in humility and love. Paul said it, and I'll repeat it again. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law. James said it too. He said, confess to one another. Call the elders, lay hands on you, whatever it is. But the church needs each other. Let me close with this. Matthew 25, verses 41 to 45. You know the story, and I'm just going to give you the setting. It's the end of time. God Himself is there. People all around. The sheep, as it were set on the right hand. The goats, as it were set on the left. And Jesus' words were, He says to these on the right hand, I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me some drink. You know the story. And then He gets to the other part of it, and He says to those on the left, He says, I'm paraphrasing now, but you know the story. You know what? I was hungry. I was thirsty. I was naked. I was in prison. You never gave me the time of day. Depart from me. I don't know who you are. And I'm not suggesting, brothers and sisters, for a moment you're going to get your way to heaven by works. I am suggesting, though, when you get in love with Jesus, He's going to fill your heart with love, so much so that you care about somebody else's hurt. That you care about somebody else's pain. And you come alongside them and embrace them and say, how can I pray for you? How can I help you? Folks, we're too often hung up, and I've been here, I've been there. Pride, selfish thinking, and please forgive me, I'm not belittling and minimizing your hurts because I know they're real. But too often times we in the church get full of ourselves, our own pride, our own self, thinking of ourselves only. That's not going to get it done for the kingdom of God. Bear ye one another's burdens.